Morning, church. Hope everybody is doing well this morning. Any of you children, I know the older kids have already left out, but any of you younger children ever heard the story of Pinocchio? Pinocchio, the little wooden boy, and what happened when he told a lie? His nose grew, right? And it kept growing, and it kept growing. Our lesson today is not about Pinocchio, but it is very closely related to some things that Pinocchio went through. For the next couple of weeks, next several weeks, you're going to get to experience, along with Paul and myself, this series where we're talking about what it means to hear voices. We'll just throw that slide up there, and we all hear voices from the standpoint of their conversation. There are different conversations that we're involved in on a daily basis. And there are three conversations that we're going to be talking about over the next 3 weeks. It's important for us to understand what we are hearing. They affect how our other conversations go, how our relationships go, how our back and forth go with one another and with family members, with spouses. And those conversations are what we are hearing from the enemy, what we are saying to ourselves, and what we're hearing from God. And we left the one about God towards the end because that is the most important one. It's the most important what we're hearing from God. But today we're going to be talking about what we hear from the enemy. And without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to go ahead and just give you a clue, all right, to a whole lot of what Satan does, a whole lot of what we hear from our enemy, a whole lot of what you are dealing with, many of you are dealing with and have been dealing with for years and years in your life, is due to lies told to you by other people, but especially lies that are catapulted into our minds and into our thought processes by our enemy himself. And so I want to start this morning by reminding ourselves, all right, of where untruth comes from. Notice what Jesus had to say about John, about Satan in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. Pretty strong words. That Satan, our enemy, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And then Jesus becomes very descriptive. And I want you to think about this description that he uses for just a couple of minutes. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so right there in that verse, Jesus calls Satan not only a murderer, but he says in one sentence, he gives us three positive statements about a negative about Satan. But these are affirmations about Satan, confirmation about Satan, and that is he, when he lies, he's speaking his native language, he's the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. Now, I want you to think about that idea that Satan is speaking his native language. You know, if you ask me, Billy, do you know any other language? I would say, well, I know just a little bit of Spanish, all right? Just enough when I go to Honduras to ask for the baño, all right? Just enough Spanish to maybe ask directions from here or there. But if you ever come up to me and say, man, I need you to tell me a lie in Spanish, it will only be by accident, okay? Because I don't know enough Spanish to lie to you by accident. But if you ask me, especially when I was a kid, to tell you a lie in English, dude, I was good at that because that's my native language. I could tell a masterful lie. And my brother was even better. I wish he was here so he could hear this and repent of it. Because he got me in a lot of trouble when I was a kid. Man, I would, you know, I mean, just take a look at this face. I was so sweet and kind. And he would do something and convince my mom and dad that it was me. And he actually would they would convince me to lie because they believed him so much that I'd start getting a whooping and end up confessing to it just to get the whooping stopped. That's my story anyway, the way I remember it. Satan is the father of lies, and he's masterful at it. Now, I know probably a lot of us, especially on a day like today, man, the song service today was so uplifting. That song, Praise the Name, man, it just really gets me amped up. And I can't even sit there and listen to that song without getting chill bumps. And then the song, Let God Arise, I know that's Don Cole's favorite song. Not really. It's not his favorite song. And I always think about Don. In fact, I almost called him this morning and said, hey, your favorite song is going to be sung. I hope you're there this morning. We like to aggravate each other like that. But that song is so encouraging. Man, let God arise. Let God do what God is going to do. And when we're in this place and we don't think about telling a lie, and we don't think about being the kind of person who would tell a blatant lie. You know, we often talk about the little white lies and then the really bad lies, and we wouldn't tell those blatant lies, but you know, I wonder, what about that little untruth? What about that little shading of the truth? Man, I had a rascal for a grandfather, and he would always say, he called me son. He would say, son, I wouldn't tell a sign of a lie. And whenever he said, I wouldn't tell a sign of a lie, I mean, everything to that is going to be a lie. That's just the way he was. What about that? What about those little untruths, or maybe a... not working. Can y'all hear me? What about those compliments that we give that really aren't sincere? What about our motivations for when we speak to others? And we don't even think about that often when we think about untruth. But folks, if Satan is the father of lies, he is good. He is good at telling the blatant lie, and he is really good at convincing us of the little white lie, the little small thing, the little twisting of the truth, the little shading of the truth. And his ability to tell a story, his ability to lie, his ability to convince us of lies is incredible. He's the father of lies. There is no truth in him. And ultimately, we need to understand that any communication we get from our enemy, all right, y'all hear me, any communication that you get from Satan, I can guarantee you is not going to be good. It's not going to be for your best. It's not going to help you in any way. It is only going to harm you. Satan's plan, his goal, his desire, he doesn't take a break from it and say, I'm just going to help Paul out here for a minute. He's having such a hard time. No, Satan wants to confuse us, distract us, and ultimately, Satan wants to destroy us. And a lot of times, I think we find ourselves, without even realizing it, we find ourselves shackled by something that's not even true. To begin with, anybody here a worrier? You worry? You worry? Have you ever worried about something that doesn't come true? Just about every time, right? Just about every time. We worry about stuff that we have no business worrying about and that isn't even going to be a reality in our lives. And so we spend a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of time, mind space, brain space, worrying about things that aren't even going to take place. We become shackled by those untruths that Satan tells us. And that's a major conversation that's going on in our head all the time. We may not even be aware of it. May not even be aware of it. I read this story recently, and it's about this guy. You've probably heard this story. It's about this guy who goes to a circus, all right? And while he's at the circus, he walks by where the animals are at. And in the circus is an elephant. And this elephant is huge. I mean, like, they're 6 tons. That's 12,000 pounds. This is a whole lot of animal. And the only thing that's got him tied up is this little rope. It's not a little rope by our standards, but It's a pretty good sized rope. But we're talking about a 12,000-pound animal held captive by this little rope. And the trainer's standing there, and the guy asks the trainer, he says, how in the world, do you realize this animal could break free and trample everybody in sight? And the guy says, yeah, but you got to understand how we train them. He said, we take that elephant when he's small, when he's tiny. He's no bigger than a small cow. And we put that same rope on him, tied around his leg. And he fights. He wrestles with it. He tries to run. He tries to break that rope, but he's not strong enough. And he grows up literally with that same rope, chaining him up. And by the time he's a full-grown elephant, he clearly could shed that rope. He could shred it. He could break it without any problem at all. Why doesn't he? Why? Somebody tell me. Why doesn't he? Why? That's right, because they trained him, because he believes that he is being held captive by that rope. He is shackled, and he doesn't even have to be. He is shackled, and he could have his freedom. There's an interesting story, and that's an interesting story, and there's another one in Scripture, and I really, when I think about that elephant, I think that we're probably not that much different than that elephant. And the story is in Exodus chapter 6. We're going to read just a verse or two. But the backdrop of this story is the children of Israel have been in Egyptian captivity. They've been there for 400 years. They have literally been there. I'm not talking about from a small elephant to a big elephant. I mean, they've been there so long that they got ancestors they never even met who were in captivity. And so they grew up with whatever was being told there was their lot in life. They grew up hearing that for a couple of generations. And God comes along and tells Moses, he says, I'm going to send you to free these people, and this is what I want to tell you. And what you see in bold right at the top, this sort of plays out over two or three verses, and I sort of congealed it down into just a couple of thoughts. But God says, I am the Lord. I will rescue you. I will redeem you, excuse me, and I will be your God. Man, powerful words from the Creator of the universe. And remember what we said a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the power of words? How did God create the world? How did he choose to communicate to us that he created the world? He spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And he gives us this powerful ability to communicate, to speak life into each other or to speak death into each other. And God, the Creator, he's the owner of the power of the tongue. And he says, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to redeem you. And notice what takes place when Moses goes to deliver that message. That message of freedom, message of life, that message of encouragement. When Moses delivered this message to the Israelites, they didn't even hear him. They were that beaten down in spirit by the harsh slave conditions. Moses goes to give that message to the people who need it desperately. They need to know that they're not going to be shackled forever. That their rescuer, their redeemer is coming. And they didn't even hear him. You see, this same God who spoke the world into existence, breathed the breath of life into us, and gives us the same power to create relationships and to create worlds within our homes, atmospheres within our homes. Either killed by the tongue or blessed by our voices. Satan does, I mean, he's not just the opposite of God, okay? I'm not talking about dualism where we have this these two equally powerful being. Satan's nowhere near as powerful as God is, But Satan is opposing God, and everything that God is speaking, this is good, and that's good, and this is what I want you to do, and I'm going to rescue you and redeem you, and I'm going to be your God. Satan hijacks the power of words. He hijacks the power of words to shackle us. And so, the power of the tongue, the power of the message that's spoken is great, but it takes acceptance. It takes belief. And I just want you to be thinking right now, as you look, if you got a bulletin, you'll see three numbers, numbers 1, 2, and 3. And that's not 3 points of my lesson. Those are going to be three practical things that I'm going to offer you in just a few minutes to maybe help you if you're shackled by a lie from the enemy. So this is a time in our lesson when I want you to start thinking, okay? If you haven't kind of figured out where I'm going with all this, then I'll kind of clue you in. I want you to start thinking about your own life right now, all right? And I want to challenge you to ask yourself. It might be hard. This might be something that you have to continue later on or go home and spend some time in quiet and pray about this. But what are the areas of your life where you are shackled, not by truth, all right, not by truth, but by lies? What are the things that Satan has told you, and maybe it's something that somebody else said at some point in your life when you were vulnerable, maybe you were a child, maybe it was something that was done to you when you were young and you were vulnerable, maybe it's a sin that you committed. And you realize that, hey, I deserve to be punished for this. But what Satan has done is, he has catapulted that. He's taken that and he's set it, a glass. Thank you, a magnifying glass. That word's just gone. That's what happens when you get old, y'all. He has put that thing under a magnifying glass and he has blown it up. And no longer are you struggling and suffering from the original deed or the original words, but he has repeated that to you over and over and over to the point that it's become a part of who you are. And it all stemmed from Satan's ability to tell lies, tell stories. He's the father of lies. So I want you to think about how I'm not a doctor, and I can't speak at this from a medical standpoint. I want you to think about how we work, okay? How the wisdom that God has made us, how He put us together, all right? The mouth speaks, all right? The ears hear, and then where does it go from the ears? It goes into that incredible computer that God put called our brain. Amazing, amazing what our brain can do. And our brain sorts information all the time and discards what isn't needed and focuses on what is needed. I was talking to one of our really, really smart college students, Amanda, the other night. Now, we were talking about this thing that humans can do. All right, she's real smart. She's a student at Mississippi State, but she's smart anyway. She had the word for it. I was trying to describe what was taking place, and she had a word for it. And the word is some of you educators, you might know what the term metacognition is. But I was talking about how, as humans, you know, we have this amazing ability not just to think thoughts, but what? To think about our thoughts. We can think about our thoughts. And as soon as I was trying to describe that to her, she said, yeah, she said, that's metacognition. And I was like, that's it, you're really smart. Metacognition, we all do that. For example, what were you thinking a few moments ago as we were taking communion? What were you thinking? We've all had those times where we were like, man, I just took communion. I just realized I just took communion, and my mind was nowhere near Jesus or the death of Jesus, nowhere near the cross, nowhere near the sacrifice, nowhere near the blessing that I get from being in communion with my brothers and sisters, because I got lots of other things going on, and maybe Satan was whispering some distracting things to you at that point. We have the ability to analyze that, to think about that. No telling how many times I heard when I was a kid from my dad, "Son, what were you thinking? What were you thinking?" And most of the time my answer was, "I don't know." And that's exactly right. You weren't thinking, were you? Man, we have all been there. We have that ability to think about what we think. And you see, that's important because it is in the mind that Satan's lies take root. So what are you hearing from the enemy? What are you hearing from the enemy? I've told some of you guys this about myself. Probably most of you, I have not told this, but when I was about 22 or 23, maybe 24, I had the first of many severe anxiety attacks. And I mean panic attacks. And I read something one time about a young lady who was really struggling with panic attacks, and she said the best way to describe it is it's like trying to give a cat a bath. And that's kind of what you feel like on the inside. I mean, for years I struggled with that. It was probably 10 years after that I found some medication that I began to take, and that helped me out a whole lot with my anxiety. But there for a while, man, I was having anxiety. I couldn't even get in a car and drive anywhere. And it was so debilitating that I quit my job. I had a wife, and Kale was a baby. And it took me a little while to get my head on straight and be able to go back to work. And then as the years passed, I kind of got to a place where I could kind of deal with it. And I knew there was a part of me that I knew, you know, that there would, you know, it was probably something biological. You know, I went to a doctor and, man, all kinds of tests, couldn't find anything really wrong with my body. But the things that I was hearing from Satan about my struggle with anxiety, now that was a different deal. Because Satan told me, "What kind of man are you? You can't even go to work." And then I began to preach, and y'all don't know this, all right, because I can put on a good face just like the best of them, but I have had many anxiety attacks while I was preaching, while I was standing right here. By the way, I'm not having one right now. It could happen any time, though. It could happen. And I can almost tell you about, the last time I preached, 2 weeks ago, I didn't struggle with anxiety, but the time before that, I wanted to crawl out of my skin. And I remember it probably wasn't a year after we had moved here, and one day Thomas Neighbors, a great, great friend, came up to me after church, and he just looked me straight in the face, and he says, "What's going on with you?" "I'm fine." "Right, Phyllis? I'm fine." And he said, "No, it's something you're struggling." And he was right. I was. I had really struggled with anxiety that morning. And you can imagine all the things. Man, how in the world are you going to go through 4 years of Bible college, quit your job, and become a preacher, and now you can't even get up in the pulpit because you're scared you're going to have an anxiety attack? All of those things. You're worthless. You're no good. You're weak. Your faith isn't strong. All of those things. All of those things, y'all. Satan took a physical situation, and he magnified it. He magnified it. And so some of whatever you guys are going through today, it very well may be biological in nature. And folks, we know that mental illness is a real thing. It is underreported. There's so much that we don't know about it. And it is a real thing. And so I'm going to tell you, if you're struggling with anxiety, I'm not the guy that's going to sit here and say, "Hey, you just need to stop believing those lies from Satan." Man, you go to a doctor and get yourself checked out. But then when you hear all those messages about how sorry you are and how weak you are and what a terrible person you are, regardless of whether it's because of mental illness or whether it's because of abuse in your past or whether it's because of addiction or whether it's because of some mistake that you made, that boom, a line was crossed and you can never fix, You're stuck with it from here until the day you die. You need to hear that message that Tyler shared with us at the end of communion. Say it out loud, Tyler. What was it? Come on, right at the end, the affirmation. Who are we with the blood of Christ? We are holy and blameless. We are holy and blameless. So this morning, I want to tell you that in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking, me and Paul are going to be talking about a lot of those affirmations. But this morning, I want you to really think about the place of, if you're in a place of stuckness, and I know that's not a word, but it is now. All right? If you're stuck in a mental hamster wheel with your thoughts, it is possible to get unstuck. It's possible to break free of the lies that Satan gives us. Last summer, we took a bunch of college kids to Memphis, and we used the church van. We went to a state park on the last day, and I got stuck. I stuck the church van. Taylor, you remember that? And we finally got that thing unstuck. And somebody, I'm not going to tell you her initials. Well, I'm going to tell you her name. It was Taylor Moore. She sat right behind me all the way home, and for 5 hours, I had to listen to her reminding me about how I had stuck the van and I was a worthless driver. And I can promise you right now, I will never get that van stuck again. I may get my truck stuck, but I ain't going to stick that van. And if I ever see it, I mean, she's ruined me for life when it comes to that. If I ever see a van stuck, I'm immediately going to think of Taylor Moore. What are you hearing from the enemy? Are you stuck? The first thing I want you to know, I'm going to give you a couple of affirmations, and then we're going to go right into the practical part. First of all, you need to know that you're not alone. You are not alone. And I am convinced, your deal may not be anxiety, but I am convinced that we all experience the lies that Satan brings us. I mean, how would we not? He's the father of lies. It's his native language. That's something we all have to fight over, fight about and struggle with. And so you are not alone. You may feel isolated, but that's just another one of his lies. There's nobody else like you. You're in this all by yourself. Nobody's going to understand. Second thing is God knows. God knows there's a cost. He knows that we have lost years and health and had relationships affected because of the lies of Satan. And he loves us anyway and is there for us. And I believe he's given us some real help in Scripture. And so here are the three practical things. Let me go through them quickly, and I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes on number three. First of all, I want to challenge you to test the messages that you receive. All right? Whatever it is, you may not be comfortable telling somebody what it is, but whatever it is, you need to test them. And I have found that I can just ask myself the simple question, is this from God? Is this from God? All right, does this sound like something God would say? And if it isn't, you need to remember John 10:10. The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. If this is not something God would have said, and if those messages, number two, become rooted in your mind, it's something that you can't shake. I want to encourage you to use some Scripture, and I'm just going to throw one out now. We're going to share a whole lot more Scripture with you in the third lesson on this conversation with God, but I want to encourage you to go to Philippians chapter 4 and read from about verses 2 down through 8 or 9, and what I call the Philippians 4 test, is this true? Is this right? Is it noble? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? And I think that when Paul spoke that, he's saying, think on these things. These are the things you need to focus on. And he's been a victim of some of those same lies that we are thrown by Satan himself. And so Paul understands that it's really important what we focus on. And so if you're hearing those thoughts, and they aren't from God, and they've become stuck in your head, I want to say to you this morning that we need to fight them. We need to go to war against them. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages, but this particular section of it, Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the world around you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I've looked back at times in my life when I was really struggling with that lie from Satan. You know, if you had asked me, "Billy, what are you doing right now to renew your mind?" Most of those times I have to look back and go, "Man, I wasn't doing nothing. Zero. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't doing anything to renew my mind." Why? Well, because I was real distracted. You think Satan wants us to renew our minds? Absolutely not. Church, transformation of our minds is possible, but it isn't going to happen against our will, all right? And it isn't going to happen against the habits that we have all built. And so part of that chain, that rope that we're shackled by that really isn't strong enough to keep us shackled, but we believe that it is, part of that is our own will and the habits that we've built. I read recently, and I thought this was really a cool thought. 95% of everything we do is a result of choices that we made consistently. Think about that. 95% of everything you're going to do tomorrow is a result of choices, all right, that built a habit. You do something consistently enough times over and over and over, and a habit is going to be formed. And we were born with some automatic reflexes, but we were born with zero habits. Think about that. That precious baby you got there this morning, no habits. Building habits from the ground up. And so, man, how important is it, when you think about that little baby that Katie's got this morning, how important is it that as a mother and as her father and as grandparents and as a church that looks around and sees these babies that we are, that a whole lot of us agreed last week to help take care of. Man, how important is it that we speak into the habits that are going to take them in directions in their lives that they may or may not be able to break? If we want change, y'all, we got to go to war. We have to combat the lies that Satan tells, and we combat them with truth. Renewing your mind is about filling your mind with His Word. By praying and by meditating and by memorizing Scripture and by acting on His Word, by making choices based on His Word. And when we do that consistently over and over and over, just as consistently as we've heard the lies and believed the lies, we will begin to build new habits. And there'll be new pathways being formed in our brain. Folks, it's not a quick thing. This renewing of our mind is hard work. It takes commitment. It takes dedication. But as our mind is renewed, we begin to gain a new perspective. And it's amazing how God works in us through His Word. We gain that new perspective about the Word of God and about God, but it begins to spill over into the different areas of our life. We begin to see our spouses with more mercy, more forgiveness. We begin to see that addict or that person at work or that person who is struggling with something that we don't understand. And we began to love them more. So church, test the messages that you're receiving. Check them against Scripture. And begin to renew your mind. I don't know what the real answer would be to this if I asked this question. But as you think about the places in your life, the places in your mind that you're stuck, that you are shackled. And it's not a real shackle. It's a shackle that was placed there by Satan and one that you agreed to and you believe. How much renewing of your mind are you engaged in on a daily basis? And I wonder what the answer to that would be. This morning, the lesson is yours, and I thank you for your attention. I hope that we understand and that we believe that our God is a God of truth. And we have an enemy, and we have to be aware of that enemy. And when he wages war against us in our mind, we have to fight back. We have to fight back. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And Father, he said we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. And Father, we are so thankful for the truth. But so often, we allow the lies that Satan tells us to become our truth. Father, I believe that the only way, and I believe your Son Jesus showed us in his life, that the only way to combat the lies of Satan is with truth. Father, may truth be such an ever-present part of our lives, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just when we bow our head at the table and say grace. But Father, we could become a people that literally are immersed in the truth of your word. That we would speak it to ourselves and we would speak it to each other and we would speak it over one another. Father, help us to recognize the father of lies when he speaks and to be able to resist him and to resist him long enough, Father, that he will flee from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a spiritual need this morning, maybe you're stuck, maybe you're shackled, and you don't know how to get free, but you want to ask this church to pray that could happen. Please come as we sing.